you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to wrap up Matthew 11 today. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in the row in front of you, Matthew 11. If you're using that Bible in the pew row in front of you, we'll be on page 816. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll make sure that you have one. And the words from Jesus that we're going to take a closer look at this morning will be so welcomed. To those who've had a tiring week, maybe it's been a tiring month, maybe it's been a tiring year, maybe it's been a tiring life. I mean, who doesn't like fall back? I mean, that's awesome. Yes, is everybody in agreement that it was nice to have an extra hour, and yet some of you are going, more please, more of that? Can we fall back 2 hours next year or 4 hours? Some of you are going, man, that was a good start getting back something that I've missed or lost or whatnot. Man, if that's you, today's message is going to be an encouragement to you. My guess is inside a room like this that there are still some tired people. Raise your hand if you're just into confession. You just go, you know what? Yes, there is a bit of tiredness in me. Anybody? There's a few of you? Yes. Oh, there's a big fan club of tired people in here today. Yes. Maybe you're going, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of physically tired, but really, if I was going to peel it back a little bit more and be a little bit more vulnerable, not just physically tired, but I'm emotionally tired, or I am mentally tired, I'm spiritually tired. Maybe that's what would come forth in a little bit deeper conversation. I mean, could anybody in here just use a nap today? Cowboys don't play till tomorrow. Man, yes, a nap. It's been said that sometimes the most spiritually healthy thing that a person can do is take a nap. You're going, wow, okay. Come to church more often. You're going to talk like that. See, when I think back to my college days, I think the thing that I missed the most about my college days was after class was over, my roommate and I, we worked same job, and man, we would go to class and do whatever, and then we'd come back. We lived in this dump of an apartment. It was $400 total, all bills paid. And it had an air conditioner that, I mean, you could hang meat in there. And we would get up in the morning and get ready to go to class or whatever. And then we'd make sure that our covers, our sheets on our two beds were pulled all the way back, that the air was cranked all the way down. We'd go to class. We'd come back from class. We'd get us something to eat. And then every day we would slide into those sheets and take a nap. And that is what I miss more than anything in college life, is just taking a nap. I mean, a good nap can be such a game changer for pursuing a life well lived. Getting proper rest on a regular basis. That's how God designed your body and my body, our bodies to be. Rest, I'm telling you, rest can be a real game changer in our lives in so many different ways. And what we're going to hear Jesus say today from Matthew chapter 11, say to those who are bone tired and soul weary today, He's going to give an invitation. He's going to say, hey, come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Receiving the rest Jesus offers is a game changer for our lives. That's my sermon in a sentence right there. So if you need to go ahead and start on that restful nap, go right ahead. That's what you came for right there. But I do think that there's more if you want to keep one eye open. And let's read these words that Jesus spoke that were recorded in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. And then we'll talk about how to receive this rest that Jesus is offering to us. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, it says this: "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" Verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as we take a closer look at these words that Jesus spoke about the rest that he wants to give us, we need to notice something first. Here's what we first need to notice. It's this: revelation leads to rest. Would you just take an out loud note with me and say that on three? 1, 2, 3. Revelation leads to rest. Let's talk about that for a minute. In verses 25 to 27, Jesus mentions that our Heavenly Father is the one who reveals, who gives revelation, who reveals things to people about who God is and what God is like. Notice in verses 25 to 27, God the Father reveals things about who he is. He reveals things to people about what he's like. And he also conceals things to some people or from some people about what he's like. Did you notice that? Look again in verses 25 to 27. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden or concealed these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me," Jesus says, "by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So revelation leads to rest, we're talking about here. And what Jesus is saying here is that knowing God, knowing who God is, knowing what God is like, is not the achievement of the ones who just try real hard to be religiously devout. The wise and the understanding that Jesus refers to here, that's probably a reference to the scribes, the religious scribes, the religious Pharisees of the day, who, by the way, knew all the right answers to every Jesus pop quiz. All of the religious tests they could ace. They could pass all of the religious tests to all the religious questions. And yet, these wise and learned ones, these religious savants, they were the ones who tended to miss out on an actual authentic relationship with God, the kind of relationship that God desired everyone to have. And instead, Jesus says, God the Father desires to give revelation about himself to little kids. Man, if you're a little kid, would you raise your hand? Got any little kids in here? Right back here? Got some little kids? Yeah. Jesus loves it that you're here. He says, all this stuff we're talking about, I'm giving it to the little kids first. The little ones. The little kids, the young ones, being a little kid. It can mean physically being a young one. But also, Jesus is talking about here that little kids just have an approach. There's an approach to life that whether you're 5 or 55 or 105, you can be a little kid in your approach to life, approach to faith, approach to God. You can be a little kid no matter how old you are. Kids are kids, aren't they? I mean, they're real, they're raw, they're unfiltered, they're loud, they're messy, they're silly, they say the darndest things. There is an authenticity about little kids that's just refreshing. And God loves those who approach Him like little kids. Just here we are. So Mom and Dad said, this is what you used to say when you'd get out of the bathtub. You'd come walking in buck naked and go, I'm all fresh. Allison and I have a good relationship, but I don't do that. But man, little kid, I'm all fresh. And God's just going, yes. Just come going, I'm all fresh. Not covering up so you can't, I'm all fresh. I am who I am. Chosen. My Father. Child of God. For me. That's who I am. Little kid language. Little kid language. God loves those who approach Him like little kids. God reveals things about Himself, about truth, about life, to those who are like little kids. So, man, if faith is new to you and you're going, man, I don't understand everything. I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. I don't understand all the terms that you sometimes say, Pastor. I mean, I'm in here, I'm trying, I don't understand everything or what exactly I'm supposed to be doing at this moment in my life with the circumstances. I'm trying, I love Jesus, I'm doing my... Relax. Let your heart be at rest. Jesus looks at you and goes, little kid, little kid, little kid. You don't have to have it all together. Just keep coming before Him. I'm all fresh. I'm all fresh. Here I am. You are honest about what you do and you don't know. And there's an openness to you and a wonder about what God's going to show you next, about Himself, about the life that He has for you, about what He wants you to do. And part of that includes receiving rest from Him. But man, if you're a religious know-it-all, if you're going, yeah, I could probably make 100 or at least an A on that Jesus pop test that you were talking about. I mean, if you're an expert in all of what the Bible has to say, but your life just doesn't have a whole lot of fruit to show from it, man. If your head is full of knowledge, but your heart is hollow and void of love and humility and kindness, please hear me. Good for you for knowing the Bible, but there are things God is not going to reveal to you until there's a humility that comes with all this stuff that you say you know. Are you missing out on this authentic relationship that the religious weasels here in the text were missing out on? Don't be the opposite of a little kid in your authenticity, in your rawness towards life and love of God. N.T. Wright says some really interesting things in his commentary about the wise and the learned religious people that Jesus says in his day, they just weren't getting anywhere with Him. They were not understanding what was unfolding before them. And yet, right, calls them the quote-unquote the little people, not a small person, but the little people of the day, meaning the poor, the sinners, the tax collectors, kids, ordinary folks like you and like me. Those were the ones who were discovering more of God simply by following Jesus, by drawing near to Jesus when he would talk, when he would do things. They were there, they were observing, they were looking, they were listening, they were coming close. And the religious people were just going, this guy from Nazareth doesn't fit into our complicated theories about who God is and what the Messiah is supposed to be like. And the little kids are just playing around. And Jesus goes, give the kingdom to those kind of kids, to those kind of people. The kingdom of God is indestructible. And that's why he gives it to little kids to play with. Because you can't tear it up. You can't tear it up. As a result, Jesus had come to see that he was himself acting as this window that opened onto who God the Father was for all of the people that were listening to Jesus and watching how he was living his life, where he was, what he was doing, what he was saying. People were coming to see who the Father really was. Jesus was revealing who God was like to all these people that came to him, that were listening to him like little kids with this childlike approach to life and faith and revelation, men and women. Revelation is intended to lead somewhere, and that somewhere includes rest. Would you just say the word rest with me on three? One, two, three. Rest. Rest. Look again what Jesus says here in verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Say it with me. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus says, if we want to experience this kind of rest that he is offering, that we then are invited to take up his yoke and learn from him. Did you see that there in verse 29? He says, if we'll do that, we'll find rest for our souls. Good news. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, as he notes there in verse 30. So Jesus is this master when it comes to spinning a phrase or using an object lesson or a metaphor, imagery. He's talking about here putting on a yoke. Now, that may not be just normal imagery that we talk about in our everyday walking around lives. And so you may be going, what kind of, can you help me out here? I'm not a first century farmer, and so I need a little help with what this yoke is that you're talking about. So a yoke, here's a picture of a yoke. A yoke is a wooden cross piece. It's fastened over the neck of how many animals there? One or two? Two animals that then gets attached to a plow or a cart so that they can then pull that plow or pull that cart. The yoke is actually the way that it's distributed, the way that it's created. It helps to distribute the weight more evenly and allow for more than just one to pull or to plow. Yokes aren't made for one. Yokes are intended for two. Maybe one of the reasons you feel really, really tired is because you've been pulling alone. That's why we say every week around here, Arapahoe Road, we're in community. That means you're not supposed to pull through life alone. You're intended to pull with, to be a part of. Biblical scholars note how the rabbis spoke of the Jewish law, all the rules, all the regulations. They would call it the yoke of the law. All the laws, all the rules, all the regulations that people are supposed to know and know how to implement into their life to live in this way that then will please God. And all of the religious leaders in Jesus's day seem to be making it hard, rather impossible to know everything that's in here, do everything that's in here. And that's not at all what God intended for rules, laws, and regulations to be about. That's not what he had in mind for his people. He wants his sons and his daughters to live and to love and to enjoy life in a relationship with their Father in heaven that does have order, that does have a semblance of rules and this is the way that we do things. And yet not be some data-driven religious robot that's just walking this religiously programmed life filled with rules and regulations, and yet that's void of any kind of authentic, childlike, raw relationship. He says, man, I want you to know what this is about, but I want you to know me. That's what I want. And somewhere along the way, the religious leaders of the day, they just missed the point of having a relationship with God. And the religious rule keeping just became like this heavy burden on the neck, on the back of the people who were trying to follow God. And as they tried as hard as they could, what they experience was lives that just got worn down, ground down, in need of rest. And Jesus comes along and reveals something. He just reveals a whole different picture of who God is. And he offers rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. That language would have sparked in the hearts and minds of the people of that day. Because find rest for your soul, that's something that the Old Testament prophet named Jeremiah, that's something that he said that they would have been aware of. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, look at what the prophet of God says. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find what? Rest. You find rest for your souls as you walk in the pathways of God. As you do it old school, the ancient paths. See, God's always desired to give rest to the souls of the people that he's created. And yet over and over again, we must not miss the last part of verse 16. But they said what? We will not walk in it. Translation, I know better. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Yeah, but that's when I get all my stuff done. Okay. God goes, thy will be done. If you always start out the week tired, take a step back and ask yourself, am I following in the ancient path of rest? Or am I making it to another select tournament? Am I doubling up on this? Am I taking care of this and doing that? And God goes, I created you to rest. It's not a rule to follow. It's a relationship to enjoy. It's not only about taking a nap. It's also about catching your breath with me, your creator. Rest. 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 God says, thy will be done. Suit yourself. But you're just going to get more and more tired physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually until you go old school. And if that's how you feel today, tired physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to hold a mirror up through God's word for myself and for you and go, let's look at what God's saying here. And what God's saying here through his word is, let me show you the ancient path where the good way is. And that's where you're going to find rest for your souls. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the path. I know that you're feeling weighted down. I know where your burdens are. I know where you are tired and why you are tired. And I want to exchange what you've been carrying around, what you keep picking up along the way, and I want to give you rest. Now, there's all kinds of metaphors that can fit well here. Yoke is one, but let's look at it through a different metaphor. Let's look at it through the metaphor of baggage. Because when we start talking about baggage and we substitute yoke for baggage, we go, okay, man, I kind of start understanding a little bit more when you talk about baggage, picking up stuff along the way that starts to weigh us down. For the next 10 minutes, would you just watch our friends, the Skit Guys, talk about the baggage in our life and the invitation that Jesus gives to set it down. Watch this.
You've heard the saying, he's carrying a lot of baggage from his past, or avoid her.
Baggage.
But think about it. I mean, baggage, it's, we get it from other people, the things that they do to us or say to us. And if we carry those memories around, in essence, we carry baggage. We begin collecting baggage when we're just little kids.
There you are.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, what?
Well, we were talking about building the treehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I love treehouses.
Yeah, it's just a thing. See, you can't help us build the treehouse.
Why?
Well, you don't really want me to tell you.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, we were talking, the gang, we were talking.
And, yeah.
Well, you're too fat.
What?
You'll weigh down the treehouse.
I'm not fat.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I'm not. No. Mommy just says I'm big boned.
Dinosaurs are big boned. You're fat.
No. Mommy says I'm chunky.
Peanut butter's chunky. You're fat.
No. Mommy says that I've lost weight.
I think you found it.
No. Mommy says I'm just different.
Your mommy says you're just different?
Yeah, I'm just different.
Go back to where you came from. I gotta go. Bye.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's one of the biggest lies we teach children. Words hurt. They cut deep. And if we carry around the words of other people, essentially what we do is we're collecting baggage. You see, we can't find our self-worth based on what other people think of us. We have to find our self-worth based on Christ and our relationship with Him. But it doesn't seem to be that easy. And as life goes on and we get older, we just tend to collect more baggage. Sometimes we pick up baggage from people who are very close to us, like a best friend.
No, I know. I know, Shelley. I know. It's like we talked for 3 hours and it seemed like 5 minutes. I know. It's like we have this amazing connection, this chemistry. Okay, I'm just going to say this, Shelley. I've never said this to anyone in a really long time. Shelly, I feel like you're my density. I really, really do. No, you're right. You're my destiny. That's what I meant. You're my destiny, right? I'm just so full. Hey, he's right here. I gotta go. Okay, bye.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Not much. Who are you talking to?
Talking to my mom.
Your mom's your destiny.
Yeah. I mean, she gave birth to me and everything. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Kudos.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you said Shelly.
Yeah. That's her name.
I thought your mom's name was Kelly.
That's her middle name.
Your mom's name's Kelly Shelley?
Yeah, and she was picked on a lot when she was a kid, so I just really try to encourage her all the time and tell her that I love her. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
That's a great thing.
Whatever. Did you talk to my Shelley?
Yeah, I did.
And?
She's not gonna be your Shelley. Look, we just started talking. We just kind of hit it off. It just happened. I mean,
what?
We had this great chemistry. It just...
No. You were supposed to call her for me.
I did. I started out doing that. I did. You gotta believe me.
You're supposed to be my best friend.
I am. Don't let a girl come between us, okay? This is not a big...
You did this. Look, man, you know I've liked her since we were in kindergarten, and you were supposed to talk to her for me.
Yes, but I've been your best friend since kindergarten, and we've always said growing up, best friends forever, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? Forever just got a lot shorter.
Don't do this. You did this.
You're supposed to be
my best friend.
And our friends, they're just trying to get through life the same way we are. And sometimes they're going to make poor choices, and we can either learn to forgive them or we can pick up more baggage. You know, the truth about baggage is we don't need other people to load it on us. We do a pretty good job of dumping baggage on ourselves when we compare ourselves to others. We think things like, oh, if I could be as popular as they are, if I could be as gifted and talented as they are, but I'm not. I'm a loser. I'm no good. And when we think that, we pick up more baggage. Or we find ourselves thinking, they have it made. And why is life so easy for them and so hard for me? I'm never gonna make it. And when we buy into that lie, more baggage. And sometimes we pick up baggage from people who love us dearly. And they just don't realize that their words cut like a knife.
Son.
Hey, Dad.
What happened out there?
The ball slipped. The lights got in my eyes.
The lights got in your eyes?
Yeah.
You know that's what cost us the game, don't you?
Yeah.
The ball slipped. How many times have I gotten up in the morning before 5 a.m. before I go to work on the stuff with you, huh? There were scouts out there. You realize that?
Dad, the ball slipped.
The ball slipped.
It did. I mean, what do you want?
Hey, Coach. Huh? No. Butterfingers, yeah. We're going to work with him. Uh-huh. All right. See you later.
Are you crying?
No.
Well, don't. Pull it together. People are watching. I want you to grab your stuff. I'm going to go to the car, and I'll meet you there, all right?
Dad.
I'm just disappointed in you, all right? These were our dreams, right? Grab your stuff.
And our parents, they don't mean to hurt us. It's just they've got their own baggage. And when you don't deal with baggage, you pass it on. And for us, we have to learn to find our self-worth only in our relationship with Christ. And if we don't, we pick up more baggage. It gets uncomfortable, tedious, and our natural tendency is to want to dump this baggage onto someone else, but it always backfires.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
What are you doing in my room?
I just need to ask you a question.
What?
Can you give me and my friends a ride to school? It's cold and I don't want to ride my bike. What?
What? Are you really asking that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Just give me a ride and some of my friends to school.
You need to understand something. Just because you and your loser friends are in high school now doesn't mean I'm going to give you a ride, okay? Because look at me. You need to understand that when people look at you, they see a freak, all right? And if they know that I'm related to you, if they know we're brothers, they're going to think I'm a freak too, okay? And I'm not okay with that. So here's the deal. I don't care how you get there. I don't care if you have to walk or crawl or whatever, but I'm not going to be a chauffeur for you and your loser friends, okay?
It's not my fault that Dad left. Why do you keep taking out on me?
Whatever.
No, you know I'm right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're not sorry. You're only sorry that I'm calling you out. I'll just ride my bike.
I said I was sorry.
I'll ride my bike.
Come on. And in the process of trying to dump our baggage on someone else, inevitably what happens is we pick up more baggage. And then there's that one. My sin. My secret sin. But it's cool. I mean, I've got it under control. Who am I kidding? Most of the time it has control of me. And this is the way I live. And yet, I hear the words of Christ who says, I've come that you may have life and may have it abundantly. I don't know about you, but this doesn't really feel like abundant life to me. I can't walk straight. I can barely keep my balance. And then I remember his words. Because Christ also said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what I want. That's what I want. So I go to God. God, please, if you're willing, would you take this baggage from me? Because God, I'm miserable and I can't live this way anymore. Please take it. You know what? It takes it.
Yeah, I don't know how that hits you or what you're carrying or what kind of baggage that you may have been lugging around, but my gut tells me that something in that video connected with you. There's something that came to mind. Our past is our past. Our present is real. And Jesus says, I'll exchange that. Doesn't mean that we don't still deal with consequences or have difficulty that we need to work through. But when he talks about, man, let's trade. let's trade. That's really good news for tired people. I want to invite our worship team to come and just lead us in a song called Come to the Altar. And as they do, I want you to see something. I want you to see what Jesus says again. Don't miss the first three words from Matthew 11, 28. Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, rest begins when we come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, you know what he begins to do? He begins to reveal himself to us. Coming to Jesus means believing in Jesus and then walking in his ways. That's the ancient path that Jeremiah the prophet was referencing. That's the good way. That's where we will find rest for our souls. That's the way when we follow Jesus that we'll become who he has designed us to be. Through the words of Jesus that come from the lips of Jesus. It's the ancient way that leads to our rest in Jesus. It's what John was writing about in his gospel when he said in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, his way, his words leads to our rest. And when we experience his rest for our lives, friends, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. And the only way that we will experience that kind of rest that we were designed for is when we do what Jesus says, come to me.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.